Well, it's good to see you all this morning. Cold day like today, it's one of those ones where you just want to crawl back into bed, right? I'm glad you made your way here. Like I said, we're going to be looking at the first chapter of Mark starting next week, and there's a lot in that chapter. But for whatever reason, the lectionary folks, the ones who have decided kind of what we should look at each Sunday, jump us first into John, and this is at the beginning of John, part of the call of the disciples. Jesus has been baptized by John, and John has experienced this moment. John the Baptist has experienced this moment, and I'm going to push back a little bit in the text, and I know that just drives Cheryl crazy because she doesn't have it on the slide, but I'm going to start at verse 35. The next day, John again, standing with two of his disciples, this is John the Baptist, as he watched Jesus walk by, exclaimed, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And when Jesus turned and saw them following him, he said, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." And they came, and they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and one of the two who heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Now the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called to you." And Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you where I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Open our eyes and our hearts to see, O Lord. Open our lives to the way that you are coming. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm glad that Emily kind of shared that bit about her son and that kind of wonder in which they take on the world. When my nephew was very small, we went to the zoo one time. And he was constantly grabbing my hand and saying, "Look, see, look, see." Those were kind of the only words he knew at the time. And I'm looking and I'm trying to see what animal he's pointing at. And I, you know, is it the elephant? Is it the giraffe? Is it the, you know, seals? No, it's the squirrels. "Look, see." But this is kind of the first way that we engage people, isn't it? "Look, look." This is really the first way we learn as children, and even now as adults, is by seeing things, right? By observing things. And in fact, that is both the invitation that Jesus offers to the disciples in this text. Come and see. Now, they're just wanting to know where he's staying so that they can have a conversation, so that they can meet up with him later. But he says, come and see. He doesn't give them the address. He doesn't tell them the person's house. "I'm staying at Aunt So-and-so's house." He says, "Come along with me and see where I'm at," right? And of course, we know that there's a bigger invitation in that than just come find out where I'm staying. Now, the interesting part is that the second part of the story, we're told that the disciples also say that to one another. We've found the one who we've been looking for, the one they call the Messiah. Come and see. So I wondered what you all came to see today. Do you think about that when you come to church? What am I going to see today? Probably not too much different than you saw last week, right? Same people, same band and musicians, although this changes from time to time, doesn't it? I'd say the same people up front, but you had a guest preacher last week, so a little bit of a surprise, right? And today we have Emily, so someone new amongst us. So that invitation to come and see isn't always about what we always see, right? Sometimes we're surprised by who we find at church, right? Sometimes it's an old friend that we haven't seen for a long, long time. Sometimes it's somebody brand new and they look familiar. Maybe we've seen them around town, but not at church, right? So come and see. Come and see who's going to be here on Sunday morning, right? But I also wonder what else you come for on Sunday morning. So I want you to take a moment to quietly think, why did I come this morning? It was a cold morning. Could have stayed in bed. Could have watched church on TV. Why did I come this morning? Why do I come to church any Sunday? You got it in your head? Turn to the person next to you and share why you come to church. Take a moment and share why you come to church. Could be the couple of people near you. Okay, so I want to know how many of you said, I don't come to have these conversations this pastor keeps making me have. Right? Sometimes you're a little put off by what that pastor's wanting you to do because you came for a whole different reason. Right? I was interested that I got this exercise from another pastor, and he said when he did it that afterwards, an older couple from the congregation came charging up to him after worship, and he was kind of steeling himself for the complaint, you know, that we don't like to do these things, this sharing stuff. And the fella says to him, I've been married to my wife for, I don't know, 55 years, and I had no idea why she came to worship every day, every Sunday. He said, we learned something about each other. We learned why we come. And we come because we come together, but he said, we also have individual reasons why we come. So what are some of the reasons why you come to church, if you want to share out loud? To feel renewed. And centered again. To share with each other, with other people. Mm-hmm. Okay. John? Okay. So you come to connect with people here, and particularly people you can talk about your spirit and spirituality with, and then you can have those connections out there. Okay, thank you. Her spiritual vitamin shot. And you need it once a week. That's a prescribed. I like that. I like that.
That's so more eloquently than I did. I said it's my theological Red Bull.
Your theological Red Bull. You need a little jolt to get you going. Okay. Anybody else over here? You come on Sunday morning so that your kids have to be here.
Well, you know, I have to be here. That sounds a little too shallow.
Yeah, but I appreciate that. But you and I are in the same boat. You know, we're paid to be here on Sunday. But we choose to do these jobs because something happens on Sunday when we come, right? So though we have a little bit maybe more financial incentive to be here, there's other reasons why we come. Right?
To slow down and to rejoice in music,
mm-hmm.
sharing our friendship.
Mm-hmm. I like the slow down part. How many of you feel like your life is rushing by, and sometimes just to have a place to slow down and take a deep breath, right, and to quiet your crazy minds a little bit is always a good thing. But also to experience the joy of the music, because the music, you know, fills us in a way, and it does something to us, right? Music has a powerful part of what we do on Sunday. Rob?
I'm not playing to your thing, but quite honestly, there's many times when I get uplifted by your sermons.
Okay.
And
it
kind of sets me on the right track for the week.
I paid him this morning. But I think you're right. We come because we need to hear something about Jesus, right? We need to hear something about what God is doing in the world, because during the week sometimes it's hard to see. It's easy to kind of either get so busy and caught up that we forget, or there's just such horrific things going around us sometimes to kind of, we need somebody to come and say, "See? Come and see. Look," right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And be filled, rather than always kind of pushing something out there. Anybody else? Yeah, in the back? To worship God. We come here to say thank you to God, to adore God, to confess to God. We come here connect to God in some way that we don't seem to be able to do out in the world all the time, right? Sometimes that's because we need the encouragement of others to do that, and sometimes we need the courage of a group to be able to connect with that God, right? Okay, somebody else back here I saw, Mary Ellen?
I feel the prayers are, because they're communal, I just feel they're more powerful. I feel more connected to God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When we are together as a group.
Okay, okay. Rod, or Barry?
For me, it's a better understanding of what's written in the Word, even if we're just reading a short part of it.
So there's some learning that happens. There's some growing in our understanding of the Scriptures, but also in hopefully who God is and who Jesus is and who we are, right? There's some learning that takes place. Boy, you all did that really, really well. Thank you so much for your things. Now I want you to go out in the world and do that. See, y'all are, if I came in here and told you we're going to talk about evangelism today, you'd all just clicked off, right? You'd all just said, not doing that. And, you know, interestingly enough, we heard yesterday and we heard today. Yesterday we had a leadership retreat, and today in our Bible study, all the reasons why we don't have these conversations with people. Well, they don't want to hear it. I don't want to look like one of those crazy Christians. You know, people do their spirituality in different ways, such like that. But I think that the text this morning is helping us to see how very simple this is. Come and see. Come and see what this is about. Come and see who this Jesus character is. Come and see who the people are that participate in church, you know, in your community. Come and hear the glorious music that we have. Jesus begins with an invitation. Being a discipleship begins with an invitation. Come and see Jesus. Come and see what He's about. In the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at what Jesus was about and how that was for us and how that also calls us to something, right? But it's that simple. Just an invitation. Come and see. Come with me. This is what I like about the disciple in this story, because he doesn't say, oh, Jesus is over there, you should go check Him out. He says, come with me. We'll go see this guy. Right? So sometimes I think our excuses for not sharing the church and the good news with people is because we make it too hard. We think we have to have all the answers, right? What if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer? You say, I don't know that, but let's go find out. We can go to the pastor together, or we can go to Bible study together, and we could find this out. Now, why would you invite anybody to come and see what's happening at the church? Right? It's a dying institution. That's what I heard yesterday. Now, the interesting part was we started out by talking about how the church was in decline and how we're struggling and we're losing members and stuff like that. But when we ended our day, we were at a very positive place. People were excited about the church. People were energized about the things we talked about and the things that the church could be about in the world. Right? So, if we come to church because it's important to us, because we find value in what we do here together, because we connect with God in a new way or in a renewing way, because we learn and grow in our understanding of who we are and who God is, why wouldn't we want to invite others to join us in that? Right? Am I wrong about this, or am I... You all feeling a little pinch right at the moment? Okay. So, you don't have to have the answers, right? You just have to do the invitation. Pam. Yeah. That's good. And I think you make a good point there. We imagine that what we have to invite people to is worship. But maybe what we need to invite them to is a book study or a mission project that we're doing, right? Or just to lunch with some other people that go to church with us. I'm not asking for you to ask people to make their commitment to Jesus Christ in the first 3 minutes you meet them. In fact, I don't think that is a really good method for people to come to know Jesus. Okay? And we are discovering with people today, where previously, first you belonged, and then you learned, right? And then you witnessed. What we discover now is that people want to belong first so they can find out what you all are about. And not by belonging and joining membership. They want to be included in what you're doing, so they can find out what you're about and why this is so important to you. Why you keep doing this every Sunday. Why you give financially to this organization. Why you show up on a Saturday night to open your doors to the homeless. People are curious. And more importantly, they're curious about God and where God is working in the world. And let me just tell you, God is working here in this church. And we should be inviting others to be a part of that with us. So, come and see. That's your invitation to people. Come and see what we're about. Come and see who this Jesus character is. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
All righty.